scripture that I've studied over the years dealing with finances and with young couples. That is truly a big focus within their life. Well, how can we be successful? And I've pulled out quite a bit of scripture here on dealing with, okay, what is God's plan and God's way of where, as a Christian family, that we can live at peace with our finances and also making certain that we are following God's word in the process. Well, a lot of people don't want to pay any attention to it, and there's a good reason they don't want to pay attention to it, because God says, I will supply all your needs. And so we think because God has said that, and he means also, I'm not going to give you your wants. That is not true. The fruit of your labor is to be enjoyed. So let's look at it. Setting financial goals. Money is a tool and a test. While we're on earth, remember, folks, this is God's plan to put us here for training. Why? I don't have any idea of how we're going through it, but I do know this, that everything that relates to us humanly and physically within our life is there to help us to grow spiritually with the Lord, from the hurt, the pain, the joy, from poverty to wealth, everything God says I'm using to glorify me and to bless you. So, money is a tool and a test, Luke 16:11. If you are untrustworthy about handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? So we realize now that dealing with wealth I'm not talking about multi-billionaire and all of this, although many are Christians. What I'm saying is that we need to focus on why either God gives it to us or why that he doesn't. And therefore, learn a lesson, but remember this, that you are to be trustworthy handling worldly wealth. Okay, trustworthy if any of us are out here and we may hit the jackpot in the market or whatever it is, you've got it, you have the worldly wealth, doesn't mean that you are not blessed by God with that. It means God has blessed, just like the great farmers of our older days of when they would continue to have the cattle and they would, the calving and coming by, and pretty soon they're talking about a herd, horses and all, especially in a bluegrass state. So if you're untrustworthy, the trustworthy part means that when God blesses us, we are to bless others with God's blessing. That we are not to use every gift that God has given us for ourselves, but we are to use every gift that God has given us to help others, to be responsible. Therefore, God says, if you're not responsible with what I'm giving you on earth, how can you be trusted with the spiritual matters? Now, obviously, he is training us for the age to come. All this time down here is a training session for the age to come. What age? The age of the coming of the Lord, or the age after the Lord has come and we're in full service to him. It will not be a boring time, folks. The more you read scripture, you will find it will be a blessed time. It will be an excited time. It will be a time when we meet the old friends who have gone on, our loved ones who are gone on, and the love that we will have will so supersede any human condition love that we will live in that peace and joy with Christ throughout eternity. Well, will there be more that will be happening then, according to Scripture? Yes. But you see, you and I have our hands full trying to figure out what we're doing down here. I know where I'm going. I know what the Scripture says about the place that I'm going. And what all I'm doing there, I don't really care. I really don't. I mean, I'm excited as I can be knowing I'm going to be with Jesus. And I'll be excited about doing whatever he says. You know, can't you picture a great work that we would have in heaven? Is, you know, like polishing something to glorify God. You know, of helping one another through whatever task God gives us. I guarantee you, we will be yoked together throughout eternity. The work that we do with one another to glorify God will continue forever and ever. Now, what not to do with your money? Number one, don't love it. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Whoever loves money will never have enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. People get a raise. Say, man, isn't that awesome? I'm glad you got a raise like that. Well, I want enough. I needed more. They should have given me more because I'm worth it. Folks, it is not the amount of money that you receive that gives you wealth. The wealth that Christians need to be focusing on, it is in the wealth that of God's love to where you're at peace. As Paul said, whether I have little and I've had much, and he said, I'm at peace either way that it goes. And of course, that confused folks. But don't love the money. Love the people God calls you to enough to help them who are in need. That's why he gives it, Christians. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10. The love of money is the first step toward all kinds of sin. Some people have even turned away from God because of their love for it. And as a result, have pierced themselves with many sorrows. I have never met an individual who is wealthy and is in love with that wealth, is in love with that money, that's ever at peace. For one thing, they're always afraid somebody's going to steal it. And I can picture me, you know, I'm so glad that I'm not the judge because I wouldn't cut myself any slack at all. But can't you imagine that God says, here's the wealth of earth. And then throughout the whole scripture, you and I are learning as Christians that the true wealth is the wealth that awaits us in peace. The true wealth is being at peace with your life, with yourself, and with your God. Many, many wealthy people commit suicide. Many of the children commit suicide. Why? Because they cannot find peace. They've got to have all the money they ever think of. But you remember buyer's remorse? Yeah. Yeah. I bought a rod and reel one time. And it is buyer's remorse because I realized I quit fishing. Well, that's a good deal. Anyway, buyer's remorse. What did you buy for? You don't even fish. Well, somebody will someday. I don't even know where the thing is now. But anyway, you think of that. You get something, and then it's not as great as you thought it was. The grass is greener on the other side. You get there, and it's AstroTurf. That's just about the way life goes, and that you're learning this, son. Number two, don't live for it. Money. Luke 16:13. No one can serve two masters. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. It is the root of all evil, but it is an idol. So what do we seem to be doing? We don't hold on to it long enough to fall in love with it. That's a good way to be. All I would want and ever have wanted for my family is a place of comfort to lay their head and to be fed and to be at peace with God. Ecclesiastes 7:7. Even wise people are fools if they let money change their thinking. Huh? You know, the wisdom of God I've given you. Poor Solomon. You know, he goes through it and he says, okay, I'm going to try it all. He tried everything. And, the misery that he was in. Vanity, vanity, said the preacher. All is vanity. I tried the wine and it didn't work. I tried wealth. You know, I did go through all of that and nothing worked. But the peace is not in things. The peace that you and I find is in a person, Jesus Christ. That's the personal relationship. If I have a personal relationship of peace, why would I need money? If I know a rich person, and they're good friends of mine, why would I worry about being rich? You know, I'll just tag along with them and let them foot the bill for it. See, God always says, what happened with Jesus' body? Think of it. God sends in your life the individuals he wants in your life. And those individuals that are called by God, following God's direction, will help you in your life. Number three, don't trust it. 1 Timothy 6:17, tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. I told you all about that. I was listening to this guy that's running for president, and his main focus is on taxation, and that wealthy people should be taxed at 90%. 90% they should be taxed, and us middle-class folk or whatever we are, the taxation should be up to 60%, and that'll take care of all the rest of the people that don't work or, you know, don't do this. And what I say is too ornery to do anything, and it's not scriptural, folks. It is not scriptural that I am going to take care of somebody that is ornery. Now, Peter said it best. You don't work, you don't eat. But we can't quote that one though. Too much of a book. Yeah, is he? Oh, gosh. That's frightful. I don't know. The other one's scaring me to death, I'm on the air, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Their trust should be in the living God, who, told you, what better friend would you want than one who has everything? I want God's love and God's riches. The dollar bill, folks, ain't going to work. It don't work very good down here right now, but it ain't going to work in heaven. But God's riches will. Tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud or don't trust in their money, which will soon be gone. Their trust should be in the living God who richly gives us all we need. Now, you listen to the last part of this. For our enjoyment. There's never, ever been a time to when God did not want us to enjoy life. God does not want me walking around and sitting in a corner, oh, woe is me, because, I am so close to the Lord, I just have no joy here on earth. I will not eat what is set before me, because if I eat what is before me, what about the millions upon millions who doesn't have food in the other part of the world? And so, therefore, I will sacrifice. What, you know what they mean? They're going to throw in the garbage. Now, folks, I know people who do this. I saw one guy that brought into one of our meetings one time a little loaf of bread. I remember when those came out in one of the steak places. But he refused to eat with us. And when we went back to where we were all studying together, there he was with his little loaf of bread and a little glass of water. In his humility, and I thought, gosh, I wish he'd have bought the steak. I'd have ate it, because the one I got was really good, and I could have really picked out on the other one. You see, that stuff is not of God, folks. I glorify God by allowing Christ to use us, each of us do, to use us and money is not it. And he said, but what I give you, I want you to enjoy. All right. Job 31, 24 plus verse 28. If I have put my trust in money, or if my happiness depends on wealth, it would mean that I denied the God of heaven. Right? Do I not put my trust? Do we as Christians not say that we trust in the Lord? We're supposed to trust and obey. But we can say we trust. Difficult for any of us to understand, and especially the heavenly realm, when we say we trust and we don't obey. All right. What not to do with money, number four. This is the last of this. Don't hoard it. Don't smell of it and sun it. Like, remember I told you all some of my kinfolk did? They would have all the cash out, and ever so often they'd take it out and sun it. And they would let, you remember how they used to put dried apples on the roof and dry out the apples? And Aunt Gertrude, and anyway, they did that. And they said, well, I was just sunning it today to make sure it stayed fresh. I would have tested it to see if it's fresh if I'd known where they'd been sunning it. Okay, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Remember, it was that uncle and aunt that I was kin to by the uncle and by the aunt, because they hadn't married sisters or something. And everything they had is 40-some of us in the clan. And I got big-time money for me. I said, how much could they have left? They paid the lawyers. They paid the state did, and paid the government, paid the state. And they had all, and, you know, not one bit of it. It's a wonder it didn't go in the casket, and I'm not so sure some of it didn't. But, you know, not one bit of it did they take with them. And they would have a heart attack if they knew who all got it in that family. Okay. Where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Ecclesiastes 11, 2. You know what a treasure is in heaven for us? Any act that we've done out of love for our fellow man and love for our Lord. That's a treasure. That's what's being stored up. Love. Love gifts. You give it because you love people. You give it because you love the Lord. And you give it because you don't want to hoard it to where that you will end up trusting in it. And then being afraid, what if somebody steals it? And my answer to them is, don't let them steal it. Go burn every bit of it up and don't worry about it. I don't think they'd do that. Ecclesiastes 11, don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. Here's the 10-10-80 Christian Financial Security Plan. Are we ready? Use 10% to honor God. People say, well, you know, is that a requirement? No. No. You can go to hell. You don't even have to choose the Lord and go to heaven. It's not required you go to heaven. It's offered. It's a gift. So therefore, use 10% to honor God. You don't honor God with anything if you give it begrudgingly. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income. There went those arguments with people, and they get angry. Preacher, now do I tithe from the gross or do I tithe from the net? And I said, don't tithe at all. Because with that attitude, God doesn't want it. You might as well go on out here and do what you want to with it. And he, by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns and overflow your barrels. See, God said, look, you trust me with it. You don't have to worry about it. But if you won't trust me with the 10%, you're going to lose the other 90 because of your greed, because of your attitude. Deuteronomy 14:23, our preacher in the Old Testament. Well, it's the same God, folks. I got news for you. And I'm telling you that, no, we are not under orders. We are under love. If you can't do it lovingly, the Lord said, well, you keep it. Didn't when it was your own that you were blessed with, if it was your own, you did not have to give it to me. It was yours to do with as you please. But your sin, remember who that was? Husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira. And he said, it was yours. But you stood up and you said, we're going to give such and such to the Lord. Or to get in trouble. They didn't give it. And they both ended up dead. Yeah. And the Lord, what was the second one that died? Was it the woman or the man may have been the first? I can't remember the story. Yeah. And then here she is standing there. You hear those steps, said Peter, those footsteps? They're coming to carry you away like it did your husband. Now, that'll shake you up. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. Okay? What teaches me now to put God first in my life? Jesus, Holy Spirit. I come under conviction of sin in my life. The Lord saved me. And now the reason that I and Christians want to give is because we love to give. We love the Lord. Why? Because he first loved us. Purpose of tithing, always put God first. Folks, that's the key to life, period. Laugh at the times when times are hard, when you're a Christian, because they're not going to be hard long for you. Use 10% to save and invest. 10% to honor God. 10% to save and invest. 10 cents out of the dollar that you earn. Invest it somewhere. Save it. Don't throw it away. Proverbs 21:20. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Ecclesiastes 1:2. Invest what you have. Now, listen to this. It's exactly what my accountant and investor said to do. Invest what you have in several different places because you don't know what disaster might happen. You got to diversify, folks. The Lord said, yeah. And you know how the key to that is prayer before. And you smile sometimes when the investment that pays off, you have to laugh at because of what it was that you invested in. Anyway, the other 80% use wisely to provide for family needs. Now, you can put a slash there also. Use wisely to provide for family needs and fun. Families need fun. Well, I can't do that. You know, that's going to cost, that'll cost 50 cents instead of a quarter. Enjoy it, folks. Enjoy it. Because when you leave, other people aren't going to enjoy it. And the ones who you thought was going to get it don't get it. And the others, well, you get the point, right? 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone, oh, here it is, Gene. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Woo! Provide for relatives and especially for immediate family. Do you know that there's another scripture also that lets us know that first thing I'm to do, if something's going on in my family, someone is hurt, somebody, and I'm talking about financially or whatever, then they're to go to the family first. And the family, whichever part, is to take care of family. But most come straight to the door of the church. Hey, you got to give this. And I can't believe on Sunday, Brother Vance, this is Sunday, God's day, and I came in here to ask you for a gift, and you're not going to give it to me. And, of course, your pastor, as sweet and kind as I am, I say, I'm not going to give it to you on Monday either with an attitude like that. You see, folks, you don't help people by when you know what they're doing is wrong and you don't confront it. That doesn't help them. Okay. Proverbs 10:16. The earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. How many times I can imagine when you've given that financial help and the next time you see them, I've got the dad checking in jail for being drunk. And they always said, Chapman Vance, I didn't use your money to get drunk. Number four, use some to help others. This is what we're doing at the 80%. Use some to help. The greatest joy you'll get is helping others. Whatever you give to help others. 1 Timothy 6, 18-19, tell people to use their money to do good. Then they should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they'll be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. Folks, it's got to be done ungrudgingly and done out of love. That is the blessings in heaven. Number five, this is the last one. On the 80%, use some to bring friends to Jesus. Use some to bring friends to Jesus. That told you all, I was told by one of our family members that a guy that I have become good friends with said, do you realize that he's an atheist? And I didn't know that. I think I told you all this. I didn't know that. And I said to them, you know, I'm thankful that God thinks enough of me that he'll allow me to be his friend and possibly win him to the Lord. That's the way we must look at every personality that God sends our way. Luke 16:9, use worldly wealth to gain friends. Told you it was in there. For yourselves. So that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Tell you something else. You help someone who is in need today. That someone will help you when you're in need tomorrow. I don't put the trust in the someone. I put the trust in the Lord who says this is the way it works. 2 Corinthians 9:13. You will honor God through this genuine act of service because of your commitment to spread the good news of Christ and because of your generosity in sharing. You want to get more? Share more. And you really want to get more? Share, and you don't care whether you get more or not. If it is the love of money that is the root of the evil. It is not the money. And people spend their whole life, so many, you know, and that's all you hear, the conversations, money. Well, I don't go to church because all these preachers do is preach about money. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go there because it's too much money. The world is ripping me off because of this, and they gripe about everything. Those folks aren't at peace. They'll never find peace. And they can't drink enough beer that it'll bring them peace. Because sooner or later, they're going to sober up, and reality is going to hit them. We're still on the air, aren't we? Matthew 6:32-33. Only people who don't know God are always worrying about material things. Your Father in heaven knows you need all of these. So more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. Folks, the Lord has never went back on the promise. He has never went back on a declaration. He says, try me. And he literally says it, try me and see. If I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that you can't handle it, it'll overflow. Well, what happens with the overflow? It touches the people in your life. It helps people in your life.